This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
This is episode 119, Tech Lit.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here on a beautiful Friday here in Durham, North Carolina. And if you are from Durham, then you would know Durham is the correct way to pronounce it, not Durham. However, I've seen really cool shirts that have like a giant ham on them.
Or Durham either. Durham is not the right way to pronounce it.
Or shirts with really big hams on them.
No. Yeah.
So we have an exciting, exciting show for you, and I'm going to pass it over to my friend and co-host, good guy all the way around, Michael Martin.
I'm looking around to try to find this person you're talking about. I don't see him.
Hi,
Michael. So not only are we lying about good guys all around, we're probably lying about having an exciting show, but we will try anyway. That's what we do.
What we do. Never mind. Sorry. I was about to go into a Devo reference.
Oh, okay. I was trying to place it, and it wasn't quite placing.
What he do is what he do.
So, okay. So the stories we have today, at least one of them, starts off with, we could call it tech in literature, or, you know, tech in the media tech.
Literal tag,
something like that. Tech lit. Who knows?
Chicklets. That works.
So, Michael, you found something you shared with me at coffee earlier today about a way of fooling optical facial recognition, really.
Yeah. So what you do is you get a very, very, very hot, steaming hot macchiato and you pour it over your head. No, that's not it.
That'll certainly obscure, like, your hair
and
your eyes.
It might burn off
parts
of your face, too.
Yeah.
No, this is the story. It showed up in my feeds from a couple of days ago over at Popular Science. I think it's popsci.com. And it really is one of a whole series of different technologies that are out there that are all kind of based off of the same concept. And it's a pair of glasses that have built into them a set of infrared LED lights. I guess that would be light emitting diode lights. Oh, so it's not too redundant.
Well, there's a redundancy alert though.
That's right. It was close.
Yes.
Not quite in the frame, because what they're showing is really a proof of concept product. It's not quite GA'd yet, targeting sometime next June, but it's out of Japan. And what it does is it emits light that is not seen in the human spectrum of visible light, but it will impact those light sources that are trying to, digital light sources from cameras and things of that nature. So the way the diodes are set within the frame, it will mess up the nose, the eyes, the eyebrows, kind of that whole band across your face from being captured correctly in any type of video facial recognition software.
The video capture really defines precise measurements between the eyes, between the nose and the eye. There's angles and ratios that computers use to do facial recognition. And so what you've just described shows how you obscure all that by rendering it invisible to the camera.
Yes, it was really cool. Do you remember the TV show that lasted, gosh, it wasn't even a full season on U.S. television with, and I'm thinking it was called Being Human, but that may not be it. But it was a set of future time period. One cop is a synthetic and the other cop is an actual human. And they are dealing with, it's a crime drama. And I think it was the very first episode as they're watching a robbery take place where the robbers break into the police station and just decide to wreak havoc, and they start by putting on these glasses that are just like this to disrupt their ability to be seen. It's either glasses or like something around their neck that like completely wiped out their entire head from being able to be seen. It was really cool show. Didn't last very long. I was really disappointed that it died quickly.
Yeah, I'm just reading the what you.
No, what I shared like is not the right show.
Okay, I was gonna be like, yeah, no, this is Sci-Fi Channel and vampires and stuff. So
yeah,
it's
totally different show.
Right,
I'm trying to find it. I think I bought one episode on iTunes. So somewhere in my own personal library is probably the correct name for the show. I thought it was called Being Human, because it was a conflict with an almost human. That's it, almost human. So,
being human after all.
I will put this in the show links.
Corrected show notes. Yeah.
Corrected show
cool.
notes.
Cool. So we were also talking this morning about Daniel Suarez and all of the interesting books that he's written, and Kill Decision is one of the ones that uses a slightly different technology to obscure the human identification by computers. The characters in that book put on masks that had broken up the angles and the relationship also between the eyes and the face and the nose and the lips and everything, by just having these strange masks on that were easy enough to wear and move around in, but then prevented the optical recognition of them as people because they didn't have faces.
Yeah, well, what's really interesting about that in Daniel Suarez's first book series, the Damon and Freedom Trademark, he actually has the glasses, the AR glasses, which had facial recognition in them so that you would recognize, wow, that person's a level 24 wizard. So he actually took it one way in his first series of books, and then in Kill Decision, he flips it into, oh, here's the bad part.
So there was a piece on NPR this morning too, because in Daniel Suarez's book, they were hiding from an attack army of drones. So not to give away any more than that of the Kill Decision plot. Very interesting book, certainly worth reading through. They were trying to escape from an army of drones, and on NPR this morning, there was a piece there talking about the impact of drones observing nature.
I heard that one this morning.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you?
That was cool.
So even though the outward appearance of bears, for example, were like, so there's a drone. these particular bears had been outfitted with GPS devices and
heart rate
monitoring
monitors.
Implants,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So they knew how their hearts were beating, and the presence of a drone, so the act of observing a bear in the woods with a drone caused the bear's heartbeat to increase by 400% or something.
That's what that original research was about, on whether or not the bear does.
We know what bears do in the forest.
Yes, in the woods.
And we observe them and can tell even more in the woods, yes. So it was, to me, that was an interesting factoid too, because drones certainly can go where other devices and people can't easily go, over swampy terrain and, finding nests where birds are. But the piece was very interesting about the impact of being observed, the individual animals being observed by these drones. And I kind of took it mostly also because of the noise and the clatter these drones were making, because they sound like a bit like a string trimmer, I think is what they said.
From what I've heard, they sound like a huge nest of angry bees.
Which if you are a bear...
shouldn't bother you too much.
Maybe not.
These bears go after honey, right? And they've got thick skin.
I saw
in the picnic basket, boom, you're smarter than the average bear.
So it's funny to see the crossovers one to another, from movies and television to real life. I seem to remember somewhere recently seeing Star Trek communicators that were actually cell phones that were built just like them. And I can't remember now where I saw those, but these kinds of crossovers, and the communicators certainly were envisioned already in the 1960s, well in advance of cell phones that people have and walking around with today. Same sort of thing with tablet devices too that were used aboard the Starship. So it's very neat to see the sci-fi precursors to technology that will appear in production for real walking around human beings actually much faster than you might anticipate. Can you think of anything, Michael, that you've seen or read in a book or wherever or a movie that you thought, hey, that would be really cool, but does not yet exist?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, but exists. And I was going to turn to my right and say, I have a replicator.
Well, you do, don't you?
It
doesn't create tea Earl Grey.
No, but it can make the cup because I have a 3D scanner and a 3D printer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I can replicate things. But yeah. I'm trying to think. We're watching this show right now, and I think there's... Did we watch the very last episode of the season, or is that one still this coming... It's this coming week. Humans? Have you seen mm-hmm. this yet?
No, I have not.
I will put a link
in Sounds
the
good.
Show notes for that. So this is, again, it's I think it's A&E Television, and mm-hmm. A lot of... British actors that I recognize from things like the IT Crowd. The lady who was in the IT Crowd is one of the main characters.
Oh, cool.
William Hurt is in it from Altered States, if you want to go way, way back into bizarre, freaky movies. Anyway, and the basic premise is it's, you know, sometime in the not-so-distant future, robots have been created. They're called synths, and they're fully human lifelike. People use them to do housework. They do most of the menial jobs in England, etc. And there is a small group of them that were created by the creator of the synths that are self-aware. They feel pain. They can do emotions, etc. And they're kind of on the run from the police who want to destroy them because the synths are workers. No emotion, no nothing. And the basic premise is, you know...
These ones do have emotions.
Well, one family buys a synth, which was one of the ones with emotions that had basically been reprogrammed not to have it.
Right.
And the other ones are looking for her because they need to come together as their, because they were a little family of synths and they want to reestablish their family. And I won't give away too much more than that. That's kind of the premise. Very, very cool show. So we don't have those yet. Self-aware robots, that is.
No, we have Roombas.
We have not, Roombas, not and self-aware. I have a Roomba.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I got it years and years ago.
I didn't know you had one.
Yeah.
Do you have a Scuba, too?
No. I just had a little Roomba, and I used it when I was up on my assignment up in New York.
Oh, no, I knew that. That's true. Yes. I did know that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you knew that.
I'd forgotten, conveniently.
Yes, very, very cool little device. And I'm trying to think what else was interesting about that.
Well, we don't have lightsabers yet.
We don't have lightsabers yet. That is true. We don't have hoverboards, but we're getting really darn close.
Yeah, the one we talked about not that long ago, the Lexus one.
Yeah.
Kind of gets you there. The self-tying shoes are certainly around.
We don't have... self-aware, programmable killing machines like they did in War Games, where it finally gets taught by playing tic-tac-toe that the only way to win is not to play.
Yeah, I mean, that level of machine learning, wouldn't it be cool if that machine learning existed?
Is that a rhetorical question?
It kind of is, you know. Joshua was able to figure that stuff out by self-playing tic-tac-toe to oblivion, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the scenes that kind of led up is like, okay, tic-tac-toe, got it. Understand the concept now. So now let's apply it to all of these, you know, other mechanisms. What else? A Mad Max sort of thing, maybe?
Yeah, no, I don't want killer driving cars. that's not good.
Yeah, we don't have a kit, you know, type car, you know.
But we're getting close to
Mr. Hasselhoff. We're getting close.
The Johnny Cab, right? That's coming.
Johnny Cab. Yeah.
Trying to think what else would be interesting in the vein. Fantastic Voyage.
Ooh,
that's it.
Yeah, you know, right? shrinking devices like that.
Yep. And that'd be but great.
There
for
are
surgery.
People working on each of these things, right? There
well,
are people
I mean, working if, on each if, of these things. If you things. Take the premise and then establish it into what actually can be done, I mean, we actually do have the Fantastic Voyage, right?
There well, are, they're called nanobots.
You've got nanobots. You've got pills that you swallow that are actually cameras and sensors that flow through the system to identify various medical conditions. You've got the surgeries that they do by inserting a very small tube through a vein and crawling up through the veins in the body to find certain things. There's lots of interesting stuff in that vein.
In that vein.
You like that?
Yeah, I was wondering if you were leading up to that.
it was that obvious, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer. So there's a variety of things that are coming into reality from fiction. And there's a number of things that as the reality comes, fiction will be written about them, as in the example of the humans series that you've been watching too. So that does sound rather interesting because it's a similar story. It's a story that's been told before, but the way the characters and the synths appear in it is a little bit different.
Yeah.
I wanted to maybe turn our attention to something interesting game wise that I've not had the chance to share with you and with the audience yet that I found to be pretty dang cool.
Yes.
So we went on.
Sorry. I got to interrupt. I have been playing with a new robotic weather app.
A robotic weather app.
Yes. Called Carrot Weather. Have you heard about this one yet?
Is that when root vegetables are happiest?
Well, basically, it's kind of like Dark Sky, which I really like from
yeah,
a weather
like
forecasting perspective. But this
yes.
one has a really snarky, sarcastic, almost mean personality to it, and it will yell at you about the weather. And there's like carrot to do and carrot exercise and stuff. And basically, the app was not cheap, right? When you look at the grand scheme of things. And they also have in-app purchases for like the exercise one, so you can turn it off from nagging you while you're on vacation. So I think that one really games exercise quite interestingly. So anyway.
So can say the name of that again? I heard carrot like as in Bugs Bunny, but
that's exactly
carrot
what it
like
is.
As in it's carrot. Okay.
It's carrot as in Bugs Bunny. I will put a link to it to the company that does all the various carrot apps because it's one
so,
guy.
So
company.
What's the weather one do? Does it say take your galoshes, you big dummy? It's raining, or I mean, what?
Well, hopefully we will not be disrupting with any copyright, and we're not because it does use speech to text. Oops, that's the wrong one. Hold on. We want weather.
Weather.
Okay, we're turning up the volume and pump up the jam. So it has a little ocular sensor that you poke in the eye and it doesn't like it. we're going to add the current location. Come on. Watch it just mess up on me, you know? Because right now it's
yeah,
asking me stuff. It's a wonder that you're not bedridden with a terrible illness, because I keep poking it in the eye. Let me kill all the apps and try again. But it's okay. Here we go. Launching Carrot Weather.
Tinkering with weather. Thanks, Al Gore.
So it's talking about global warming right now, and it was saying thank you, Al Gore. And let's see.
You smell pretty bad too.
So I poked in the sensor.
Why don't you go take a shower instead of poking my eye?
And what's cool?
Okay, so why are you poking its eyes?
Because
that how you get
when
it to
I
tell you the weather,
in the eyes it I uncovered two secret locations.
Redirecting weather. One does not simply check the weather in Mordor.
So one of the secret locations was the weather in Mordor.
Hunting
yes.
Weather. To add insult to injury, it'll be sleeting on the day the machines finally rise up against their former masters.
And the second location is the Robopocalypse in January 14th, 2023. and so as you do travel,
setting
as you...
weather balloons. And, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It also smells pretty good in the early afternoon.
So as you do, you know, travel, etc., and meet certain conditions, it kind of gamifies the weather and will uncover new secret locations.
I see. So depending on where you go and when you check the weather, some unlocking of the app may occur. It's a location-based unlocking app with snarky comments.
Yes. And so they have a carrot weather app. Sorry, carrot hunger app, which is a calorie counter.
Uh-huh.
And one that, as it says, one that allows you to count calories in terms that your puny brain can understand. So the guy's really snarky. It's really fun. I don't think I will pay for any of the in-app purchases because, you know, it's just not something I'm going to do. But highly rated.
No.
And they now have a desktop version of the weather for the Mac. It's listed as the weather robot with a personality.
To do, alarm, fit, hunger,
yes,
weather.
So, and they had a special on iTunes for like, I think it was four of the apps. It was to do, alarm, fit, and weather. For like $5-6 or something recently. Maybe it was $10. But they're like $3.99 a piece normally. So they're not cheap.
Hmm.
So anyway, I had to bring that up because I saw it on a podcast recently and I picked it up and it's actually, it has the same high quality weather work as the
Dark Sky?
Dark Skies. Yes. But with attitude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm pretty.
So it uses the same underlying engine or something like that?
It must, because it has some of that same, you know, show me the rain over the next hour as it's tapering off. Show me the weather over the next hour. Give me a 10-day forecast. Blah 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 blah. It's really nice. It does not have map. I should say I have not found maps in it yet. Right, animated maps, which you know, that's something I really like on Dark Sky.
Yeah, and being able to replay, you know, the past few hours leading up to now for a particular geographic location is pretty cool.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, you were going. You were saying.
I
digress.
I'll regress. And I spent a couple of days in Colonial Williamsburg with the fam.
Yes.
Recently.
Yes.
And we'll link to weather first, and then we'll click into the game portion. So it was a little bit overcast, and there was some lightning going on. And just like with a pool, the folks at Colonial Williamsburg, well, not Colonial Williamsburg as much as the Busch Gardens team, would say, hey, there's lightning, so therefore you're not going to go on this metal roller coaster and see how electrifyingly fun it can be. And I remember using the Dark Sky app to see while I was under cover waiting in the line ride to get onto the line, to get onto the roller coaster, where the storm front was and how it was moving, which was kind of cool, you know, when you think about it. That's not something that you normally be able to do or wouldn't have been able to do, you know, not that long ago. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of neat because I could show other people. It's like, yeah, here's a storm front. It looks like it's going to pass us. We should be able to get on the ride here shortly. They just have to have a certain amount of time in between hearing, seeing lightning before they can give a green light and put everybody onto the metal roller coaster that's going way up high in the air.
Metal roller coaster of death?
Yeah, well, and there were several metal roller coasters of death. They were pretty slick, those guys. Mm-hmm. So not only did we do the roller coasters at Busch Gardens, we are also in Colonial Williamsburg. And one of the fun things that you could do at Colonial Williamsburg was something called Rev Quest. So the Revolution Quest. I have a link in the show notes for that too. So the concept was an augmented reality game that you could play as a way to explore Colonial Williamsburg. So the way this kind of gets set up is if you decide you want to play, they give you a bandana that you can, you know, wear on your head or on your arm or whatever. And that's a signal to the characters in Colonial Williamsburg that you're playing the game. And you're given a map, you're given a piece of string, you're given a few other accoutrements that would allow you to dive into the rabbit hole and start to figure out what's going on with this game. Cool. And it was really a lot of fun for the kids. So there was code breaking involved. So you had to be in a particular time and place in order to receive your first set of instructions to know how to engage in the game. You figure this out from the handouts that they gave you. You dive into the rabbit hole, and then you are given a briefing. And in the briefing, they give you some instruction. They give you some money in order to pay a particular person for a key element of the code, so you can do some code breaking along the way, and then that leads you further and further into the journey. So it was extremely clever. I've included, as I said, in the show notes, a link to this particular alternate reality game beginning space. You use your cell phone in order to text certain messages to a particular number that would give you further clues for the next things you were needing to do, which was also pretty cool.
So I have to ask.
Please.
The cell phones that were used during the Revolutionary War.
Yes. Were they Apple
were
cell
they
phones?
Battery powered?
Well, you know, but most of them were. But the batteries were not removable.
Okay, did you use a disposable? Because I mean, you were providing them with your phone number by using SMS.
Gosh, of course you are. Of course you are.
Of course you
are.
So there's a marketing angle.
I'm sure there is a marketing angle here too.
Very clever.
Very clever. So the most fun of all
this.
Did
you use your cell phone or did you use your kid's cell phone?
My kid's cell phone are the ones that were used to go and get the data. So my son was particularly pleased that he managed to crack the code for the British spy network without having had the benefit of the secret number to figure out how to crack the code. So he was pretty pleased about that. And the other fun thing is we had a friend, one of my son's friends from the UK, staying with us. And the look that he shot me as we went through the briefing about how we were trying to help the Americans throw off the tyrannical yoke of the British was worth every penny, every farthing
Priceless.
For being able to go do this. So if you do get a chance to
awesome.
Go, it is a lot of fun. It was well worth it. You wound up going in many different places across Colonial Williamsburg. You got to see a lot of different things. And it serves as a good introduction and taste to the village or the town, really, is what it is. And it would have been easy for us to spend at least another 2 days there to see more of what was available. So very fun.
Very cool.
And a cool way of engaging people and families in something that our kids were already interested anyway, but there might be some that are like, oh, history? I don't like history. Well, this was a way to make it more real and more fun.
Very cool. I love history.
Yeah.
So that would just be lots and lots and loads of fun. Well, I know we're just about out of time.
Yes, we're very close.
We are very close. And for those of you listening to this and did not hear any technical difficulty that may or may not have happened during the recording of this show.
Hardly ever happens during a recording of the show.
What, never?
Hardly ever.
Hardly ever. So what game are you playing right now?
So I have to log into my phone and kind of refresh myself because I don't think I've uploaded any or downloaded anything terribly, terribly new. I've been playing a little more of Crossy Road, which is something I've talked about before. I've been playing more Alto. I've talked about that before. I've played a little bit of Quest Keeper.
We talked about that one too, and I downloaded it and I don't like it.
It's tricky because it's one of those 3D things that you just find yourself having trouble with. And maybe the last one that I've been playing a little bit more on Plane Flights because you don't need any connectivity and it's just kind of a little bit of a mindless, you know, game is Nimble Quest and just kind of going through the steps there and getting myself leveled up. So nothing
new.
You
know what is so funny?
What?
You know what is so funny?
What?
I've been playing a lot of Nimble Quest again lately, too.
Oh, really?
On planes. It's like, you know, it's kind of mindless. I can just go left, right, down, left, left, right, down, left, right, you know.
So tight in a plane, you know, people are looking over your shoulder anyway. Nimble Quest seems like a good game to play.
Yeah, and I had forgotten how much fun it was. The part that I really haven't done, though, is if you remember, you can record video of it and share those videos with your friends.
Yes.
So I hadn't done that yet, but I will have to do that now that I know that you're playing again.
Yeah.
Because that was the same thing. It was like, wow, I hadn't played this in a long time. I forgot how much fun it was. Oh, yeah, it's just Snake.
It's Snake. So I'm checking here. So what's your highest level character that you have now unlocked?
Oh, not very many. I think I got 5 guys now unlocked.
Okay. I'm up to number 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
On my phone. I think on my iPad I was up to level 15, I think. I think I was up to 15 on my iPad.
I just lost another one. I don't play enough.
Yeah.
I get bored, to be honest, with many games after time.
Yeah.
So I tend to just kind of futz around with it for a while. It'll be like I'll read part of my book a little bit on the plane, and then I'll switch over and I'll play a little Alto for a second, and then I'll switch over to, you know, the next game, and then I'll go back and read the book some more.
Yep.
So it's a pattern.
Cool.
It's a model.
Well, I think that gets us to our time, so...
It does, and we promise that Phaedra is coming back.
Yes, actually, she promised us. So you know,
she promised us, right? She has been traveling all over the world lately, and you know, time zones and network connectivity and everything else have just
conspired against
with
us.
Our schedule,
yes,
and her schedule and everything in between. So we're really looking forward to having her back with us on the show coming up soon. And we want to hear kind of your thoughts and ideas and comments at all the usual places. One thing, though, that would really help us.
Really?
And we haven't made a plea for this in a very long time. So if you would spend, you know, 30 seconds, 1 minute of your time and go over to iTunes and rate this podcast, we would really appreciate it. It helps us. It gets us a little bit more visibility. It gets us more listeners, which helps you because the more listeners, the more feedback we get and the more we can make sure the show is to your liking.
Exactly.
So thanks everybody and have a great weekend. Bye.
See ya.
Okay.
Yeah. You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue.
You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.